Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This final hour of the show on this Thursday. Been talking a lot of Knicks to start the show. We've been talking some Jets, but a little bit of everything, BT. We also had Game 2 of our Pull Your Card World Series. BT, even things up. We are now 1-1 in this best-of-seven series. After last year, I won it in seven, so we have that to look forward to. We'll play Game 3 next week. Then I'm going to be off for a week. I got to get that second eye surgery, so I'm going to be out with that.
There we go.
I know, in the midst of the World Series, I hate to miss, but I mean, I got to do it in February. If I don't do it then...
Yeah,
I don't
want to be missing through the World Series.
I don't want to be. I mean, what am I going to do? Come in after surgery? It would be the day after surgery. Maybe I could.
Do it when you're groggy. We'll do it right on the anesthesia table.
Yeah,
right. I'll help you out.
We'll see. I won't be able to see anything. But all right. Anyway, let's get back to the phones. I know a lot of Knicks fans want to get in on their thoughts. We've been talking about the Knicks. How, you know, this season for me, it's still it still could be a championship season. Whereas last year I had the roadblock. I know you were a little more down on the Knicks, or a little more concerned about the Knicks.
I have been.
Maybe more so than I am. Mario is on Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, guys. Good show, as always.
Thank you, Mario. What's up?
Yeah, I'm bullish on the Knicks, just like you are. And I believe, you know, one of the good things, like you said, they're a better team this year. And I have a perfect example. Like two games ago, they played, I believe, Indiana, right?
Uh-huh.
Indiana's not great, but they're still a playoff team.
Yep.
And Brunson scored 8 points and they won.
I know.
Last
trouble.
Year, if he didn't score 30 every game, they had no chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. You know. And let's talk about Brunson. I think Brunson is better than what's Jaylen Brown and the other guy. What's the other guy's name?
Jason Tatum? I mean, come on, he's not.
Okay, hold on. Let me back that up with some facts, okay? Last year, Brunson scored 40 points in four playoff games in a row. He's only the second person in the history of the league to do that. Last year in the MVP voting, Brunson came in 5, Tatum came in 6.
Okay.
So and also, Tatum doesn't have to score 30 to win. He doesn't have the pressure on him.
Yeah, but the question's not more who's valuable to their team or who's more valuable to them, who's a better player. And I think Tatum and Brown are more well-rounded, just better players. I'm not saying I'd rather have either one, even though I know that they're better. I love Jalen Brunson. I have a hard time saying, and thank you for the call, Mario, as always, I have a hard time saying, though, Brunson is better than either of those two guys.
I can't say that.
Yeah,
I'd love to be able to say it and mean it. I can't say that. I might be able to say he's better than Jaylen Brown. Like, at least my pushback when this came up a couple of hours ago, I said, if I'm start a team from scratch and forget about Kat and forget about Tatum, and it was Jaylen Brunson is the best player on a team or Jaylen Brown is the best player on the team, I would take Jaylen Brunson myself, personally. But, I mean, Tatum is just, he's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm talking about factoring in defense.
I know, length.
Tatum is not even a conversation. Jaylen Brown, the ability to just put the ball on the floor and score a big bucket when needed. For Brunson, he's got to work so hard to do it. Now, he gets it done more often than not. And, again, I'm going to see in the postseason. You know, there are a lot of storylines, BT, outside of just the big storyline, can the Knicks win the championship, that go into the playoffs. Tibbs in the playoffs. Karl Anthony Towns in the postseason, the defense, how the Knicks are going to play.
Bridges, the trade.
Bridges, and then also Jalen Brunson. If he is the star, He's got to, at some point, he's going to be the focal point, just like Ewing was years ago. Matter of fact, Brunson has more to work with than Ewing ever did.
Yep.
If Brunson is the star that we talk about him like he is, the king of New York, people are saying, like, if that's the case, then he's got to get this team to an Eastern Conference Finals at the very least, or over the hump to an NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I could refute that, because it's something that I've always believed in, but I watched him on, like, one leg last year, just pumping 40 after 40 after 40,
yeah.
And they had no business winning, and he was the best player on the court. So
I don't think he was great in the postseason.
He had some nights where the efficiency was down, but he was also
early on. I know, I get it. And he was a one man show. That's to Mario's point, which we all understand now. They're more than a one man show. Like, if Brunson doesn't score, they have Cat. If Cat doesn't score, they have OG. They have Bridges. Like, they have other options. Hart. They have other options to score the basketball, even off the bench. Like, nobody brings up Campaign's name. It's always about Deuce McBride. Campaign is a good bench player.
He is good.
He's got some guts. Like, he's got that stuff that maybe not to the exact level that Devo had last year that you loved. Campaign's a dog.
I got no problem with him. Campaign's good. Campaign's a good ball player.
Anyway, point is, they have many more scoring options than they did a year ago.
I'm not worried about scoring.
Which means Brunson's workload, or, you know, you don't need him to score 30 every night. So it should be easier for him to perform in the postseason. I just want to see how he does it with this team against the best of the best in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, listen, his usage rate is down. It's just harder. I mean, we talk about some small players who were great. Forget about Iverson, because he was just a one-man machine who didn't have much around him at all. I mean, and McKee was good, and Eric Snow, and, you know, what was the guy, the Vanilla Gorilla? What was his name? Matt Geiger?
Matt Geiger. I remember him with Orlando.
Bounced around a little bit, but he was there, and Dikembe. But if you look at some of the smaller stars in NBA history, like Isaiah Thomas is an all-time great, but Isaiah Thomas didn't average 35. It was a different NBA. They had defense. Right. They had Lane Beer. They had Vinnie Johnson coming off the bench. You had Dumars, who was one of the all-time top two-guard defenders in the history of the game. So, and then, like, Stockton was amazing, but he wasn't putting up 30, 35. They didn't need him to. You also had Karl Malone, plus he didn't win. You know, Tiny Archibald was on some good Celtic teams, but, like, a tick below that. Name the great, maybe outside of Iverson, who willed them to the championship against the Lakers in the early, was that night in 01 or 2000, whatever it was, maybe 01, 2000. Name the small guy who dominated and led his team to a championship. Who is it?
Yeah, it's not, and that's why.
That exists.
What's her name last year? Got a lot of flack for it. Was it
Not Cheryl Swoops.
No.
Yeah, I know.
She was a coach with San Antonio, right? Becky Hammon said that?
I think about Brunson.
I think it was Becky Hammon, if I'm not mistaken, who didn't even say anything bad. She was just saying, like, he's undersized and whatever, or something like that.
Well, she didn't say anything bad, but she definitely disrespect, undersold his value.
Talked about his size and it being a problem. Okay,
yeah, but she was half right and half wrong. And, like, where she was wrong, and it's her opinion, so that's fine. But, like, where she was wrong, she was, to me, egregiously wrong. Like, it's one thing to point out, like I just did, that there's just a dearth of, you know, little players, smaller players, who are the lead on a championship team. That's just true over history. But she made it seem like, you know, he's not even one of the two. She just undersold him.
Hoff has the quote. Go ahead, Hoff.
Yeah, she said, he's too small. If your best player is small, you're not winning.
Now, the difference is from this year versus last year, they have Karl Anthony Towns to go along with him. Now, Brunson is still their, I mean, you still say he's their best player.
Who do you want taking the shot? 6 seconds to go. You're down a point. Game six.
I mean, are we talking about just shooting or being able to get to the, I probably trust Karl Anthony Towns more, to be honest with you.
I trust Brunson.
With the shot, toughness, and making sure I'm, you know.
I trust Brunson more.
Well, to get it off, maybe.
To create it, just to be more.
But also, it's going to be harder. It's easier to defend him because he's smaller.
Well, if it's so easy to defend him, why didn't anybody defend him last year when he was putting in 48-9?
You're talking about, well, they did defend him in the postseason.
He had a playoff record. Only one other guy did that.
A couple of years ago, he was not the best player in that Miami series. I thought he did not play as up to the capabilities that he did in the regular season.
He didn't.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to pick on Jalen Brunson at all. I love Jalen Brunson, but to the point that Becky Hammon made and to the question marks that people have about his size, and if you're asking one shot at the end of the game, I don't think Brunson is extremely quick. It's his footwork that's a thing of beauty. He's going to have to attack the rim. I don't think he's the best shooter on the team.
I think he's the best clutch shooter, though. There's nobody else I want lining up a big three than him. Yeah, I don't care what OG's efficiency is from the corner. I don't care what Bridges shoots from the corner. I don't care if Cat's on a heater shooting 40% from three. Game on the line, three ball. I want Brunson taking the shot.
I'd probably go Towns myself. Mike is in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, so to go with the, you know, you get Mitchell Robinson back. I mean, Cat goes to the four, OG. Because when we got caught, when we got Josh Hart, he was really supposed to come off the bench. You understand what I'm saying? So if he goes back to the bench, you got Precious on the bench, you got Josh Hart on the bench, Campaign, Miles McBride. You know, you got a little bit, you know, flexibility and stuff like that. When you're not running Josh Hart 40 minutes a game, he might get 30. Take Mitchell Robinson out. I think the defense will play a big role when Mitchell Robinson comes back. It's not to say that it's going to go to the half-court game, but, you know, the center, he's going to be with Mitchell Robinson. The power forward, who's going to guard Karl Anthony Towns? Porzingis at the four? I mean, you know, I think the Knicks are pretty deep to make a good playoff run. Maybe they'll go to the finals. I mean, you know, Boston's a good team. Jaylen Brown isn't better than Jalen Brunson. It's not even close.
I disagree. And thank you for the call, Mike. You could have your opinion on it. That's fine. I'd rather have Brunson because I love everything that he embodies in this town in particular. But Jaylen Brown doesn't have a size issue. He's a much better defensive player. He is a proven champion. Now, again, he's doing it with Tatum. But still, I think pound for pound, you want to have that conversation, your opinion, you're entitled to that, that's fine. He said something there, though. Oh, I'm not putting Josh Hart on the bench. What are you, out of your mind?
They might.
Well, they can't do that.
No, they could.
Why would you put Josh Hart on the bench? Of everybody, you putting him on the bench?
Well, let's work through this. Yeah. So we got a point guard, we got a two guard, three, four, five. All right, so let's say, Mitch is not going to start right away. And Mitch might not start at all, but let's just say you've got Mitch at the five.
Or forget about even who starts. Who's finishing the game? Who's on the floor to finish the game?
Do you want Mitch on the floor when he can't shoot a free throw?
Well, at the end of the game defensively.
But what if he gets the rebound and they foul him and he's got to take a shot or two at the free throw line and he's shooting 44%, which he does.
They're going to have to figure that out. But
They're not going to. He's never going to be a better free throw shooter. That's the problem with Mitch. That's one of the reasons why I'm a little down. But I'll play the game.
Yeah.
So matchup specific, clearly. But you're going to see Cat at the four a lot. Because he did it in Minnesota. Cat 4, Mitchell Robinson 5. Then you've got, obviously, an OG, Bridges, you know, wings. Then you've got Brunson. And now you've got Deuce. You've got Hart. You've got Payne. That's 8. Then you've got Precious is 9. That's your 9-man rotation.
Yeah.
I like Hart. That doesn't really matter if you start. It does matter who finishes. I'm with you. I think he's hurt. I read something the other day. He might have to have off-season knee surgery. So he's going to, and he even said
he's a warrior.
He is. No, there's no doubt he's a warrior.
He's the heart and soul of the team. Are you going to have him on the bench? Why not Bridges then? Just send Bridges to the bench. Ananobi?
I mean, he just gave OG $200-something million.
I get it. I get it. But
hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Josh Hart has been, he's the heart and soul of the team.
Yeah. I love Josh Hart. I'm not looking to bench him. I wouldn't use
and
that
again,
word.
I think it doesn't really matter, but ultimately, Hart's going to be on the, Hart's going to be on the floor at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
So then it's a matter of what's their best lineup, and probably you're right with Mitchell Robinson being out, although I would think for certain defensive possessions, they're going to have to substitute him back in, I would think. I would not minimize. And even if Hart doesn't technically start, which, by the way, he's earned the right to start, he's still going to be playing a ton of minutes, probably more than anybody 30 else.
30-something.
Okay, so then really maybe it's semantics, but I guess what would be the lineup that you think is going to be on the floor the majority of the time?
I don't know how you stop the lineup that I just gave you, because if you've got Mitch at the five, running toward the rim, right?
And so what would you have again, Mitch?
I got Mitch. Yeah. I got Carl at the four. Yeah. I got OG. I got Bridges, and I've got Brunson.
Yeah, but you got Hart out of it.
But hear me. Think about this. So I'm thinking about spacing purposes, but I'm also thinking about defense. And again, Mitchell Robinson's free throw follies aside, Mitch at the five. You know, getting rebounds, obviously, and alley oops, but also because he's a big man. I think he's heavier than Carl Anthony Towns at this point. You've got to have some meat on him, otherwise you're going to dunk all day. By doing that, now you've got an advantage with Cat shooting over whomever you throw at him. So now you create a mismatch either outside for Cat or inside for Mitch. And, of course, you want the mismatch to favor Cat because Mitch doesn't have a lot of depth to his game. But if you have that, now think about this. So now you've got somebody drawn out to defend Carl Anthony Towns 22 feet away from the rim, which now opens up the paint for Brunson to drive more. Yeah. And then when he drives and they collapse, now you kick to the corners and the wings, and then boom, there's OG, there's Bridges. I just think it opens things up a lot. Plus, you'll get the rebounds and the offensive alley-oops. The Knicks don't get any alley-oops anymore.
Yeah,
they used to get a ton last year.
As much as I love Mitchell Robinson, and I've always loved him much more than you have. You liked Hartenstein, I like Mitch, so I'm excited to get him back and seeing what he could do. Hard to argue that their current starting five, assuming health with Anunoby, is going to be off the floor at the biggest times. Like that's going to be the lineup. You can't have. I would not have Hart out. If anything, I would take. Like I said, I would take Bridges out of the bunch. Anunoby has been proven in the postseason. I know what he's doing. Obviously, Brunson's going to be on the floor. If I have Hart, that leaves two spots. Carl Anthony Towns is one.
Yep.
It's either Bridges or Mitch. And to me, that depends on. That's how I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how Bridges is going to adapt to a role coming off the bench. I'm not sure. Where Hart maybe would take it easier, the transition or the different role, whatever. I think Hart's the better player. I think he deserves to start over Bridges.
He's definitely more valuable. There's no question about that. I'm going to throw a little curveball here. I think depending upon how he's playing early in the game and depending upon who the Knicks are playing, you might see Precious final 6-7 minutes of a game. Preston Achiuwa is really good.
Yeah. Oh, well, the healthy Mitch.
Me and Boomer are the only ones who like him. Nobody likes Preston Achiuwa.
No, I like him. He's not better than Carl Anthony Towns.
No, Carl Anthony Robinson. Anthony Towns is playing.
Yeah.
Carl will play five,
and
then
you have
Precious
Achiuwa
four.
On the floor in the final minutes?
Depends who you're playing. I mean, he's a really good defender. He's a really good rebounder. Really good. High IQ.
Jason is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Jason?
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
As a Celtics fan, these Knicks fans, calm down. Jalen Brunson is better than Jaylen Brown, and it's, quote, not even close. Come on. Let's go. Drink something to purify your blood and get the drugs out of your system. Jalen was unbelievable against that fat slob Luka last year in the finals, and and he's got an MVP to prove it.
He's a horrendous defender.
Yeah.
And he was locked down. Anyway, it's not what I'm calling. And Sal, I'm very excited to hear Carmelo break down defense on NBC.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, God. And high five to you, Sal. Carmelo is so overrated. He can score. Yay. He couldn't do anything else. It's enough. But what I want to say about the Knicks, I watched the game last night, and I keep my eye on them. I felt last year I did not want the Celtics to play them because I felt last year the Knicks were so pesky. They had this dirt on their elbows. They had some of that classic Knick identity of defense, toughness, and they'll find a way to win in a lunch pail way. And this, I mean, the fact that they let up almost 150 points last night, I don't know, man. And I know, BT, you said this, that they don't, what is their identity this year? I feel the same way. Like, they're just not the same as they were last year. They might be more talented, but I don't think they're as good of a unit. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, outside of dissing Knick fans with the Jalen Brown
Brunson
stuff.
He is right. You got to be realistic.
It's all good.
What Jalen Brown did in the postseason last year, like, we're waiting for Jalen Brunson to do that. He's got to do it. Jalen Brown did it. Now he does have Tatum with him, but winning the Finals MVP, that's a big deal. Eastern Conference Finals MVP, that's a big deal, especially when you have Tatum, who's the better player on your team. So Jalen Brown is a proven stud. But forget about that comparison. There is something there, BT, to your point, to the caller's point, talking about how the Knicks team last year was dangerous because how hard they played. Remember, that was our talking point leading up to the postseason. We're going to find out, hopefully, if the energy and effort and intensity and passion that this Knicks team played with would win out over the more talented groups. Unfortunately, yeah. Injuries got in the way of that. They didn't even make it past Indiana. This year, it's going to be about talent versus talent. Can the Knicks talent, ball movement, offense, can that win out in the postseason? We'll find out. What? Why? What's the matter?
I don't love where they are. And I wish I did. It's bothering me that I'm just not feeling this Knicks team the way I did a year ago. I really want to. I just don't.
And you don't think that they're better?
It's not the word that I choose to use. My word is
because they are better.
Well, I mean, it depends how we're framing the word. But I would say that they are different. And Sometimes different can be good. In this case, different doesn't feel better. No, I don't. Some of the stuff with Snoop and Dre, with Eazy-E, like when they were cutting him up back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying I never found it interesting, but I don't find this Kendrick Lamar Drake thing interesting at all.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I did get into it when it first came out. I was reading
I'm going to try to understand totally what the hell happened. That's really why I'm not that interested. Can you give me the thumbnail sketch?
Yeah, there's a lot to it, but they were each then releasing. I don't know who started it. I think Drake started it, if I'm not mistaken.
I know they used to work together. Kendrick brought in Drake back in 2011 or so, or maybe the other way around.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know they collaborated on stuff back in like 11, 12, 13, 14. Just give me the origin of the beef.
See, when we get into this stuff, it's like Peter Rosenberg talking about sports. We should should let him talk about this stuff. We'll stick to the sports. You know what I'm saying?
I don't care about this stuff.
I'm not an expert on it, but I do. When it first came out, I was like, oh, wait a second. And I'm trying to backtrack and catch up on what's going on just because I find that a little bit interesting. I like Drake. I like Kendrick Lamar.
Who do you like more?
Okay, I like Drake's songs better. I think Kendrick is better. He's the more impactful, smarter, better rapper/artist. Yeah, 1,000%.
Yep.
But I personally enjoy Drake's songs more.
God, I got you. Like I would agree with that, too.
They're just more like my speed.
Understood.
Me too. Anyway, so I started to read back and forth, and then you listen to the songs, and oh, this guy said that guy, this said this, oh, that guy said this. So whatever, to that extent. But yeah, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or what, but I have less interest in it now. Like any Eminem beef, I'm all about it. Eminem, MGK, Machine Gun Kelly.
I know the name. I don't know. Yeah. No, ton of the background there.
He broke up with what's her name? Megan Fox, I think. And now he's all heartbroken, I believe.
Brian Austin Kelly's old.
Yeah, exactly. He cheated on her, but now he's trying to get her back. Anyway, he had some beef, like he goes at Eminem. Come on, sit down.
Here's my problem, though.
You're going at the king. Come on. You can't go at Slim.
Here's my problem. Yeah. Here's the one thing. Like, so you sit down and you have these lyrics and you take an aim at somebody, whether it's their girl or, you know, your manhood or your inclination to do illegal things.
Yeah.
All right, I know. So if you've got that much of a problem with somebody, instead of, you know, putting a song out there and dancing to it and putting out, how about you meet up in an alley with nobody watching and you actually settle it like men?
That's salt, brother.
How about that?
I can't fight. Come on.
I don't understand. Like, if they hate each other that much, get after it the old school way.
Well, I mean,
see who's tougher.
Tupac,
throw fists. Yeah. I'm not saying throw bullets. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that.
The fists then start for, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's
one of my problems. Yeah. You know, back in the day, fists used to settle stuff. Bullets end lives, unfortunately.
Yeah,
fists don't, unless, God forbid, you hit somebody and they hit their head on the top. Whatever.
I just
don't understand it.
Yeah, all right.
If it's that serious, just go fight.
Either way, I was surprised to see Stephen A. Hoff, you have something you want to say?
No, I got it from, I believe his name is Isaac or Isaiah. I missed it when he came in here. But so Drake brought in Kendrick back in 2011 to collab on a song.
Okay,
to collab on a song. And then Kendrick started some beef like about a year later.
Why, though?
I don't know.
Probably heard some.
I don't know.
I think there was a lot, there was a lot going on.
Kendrick started it?
Yes, Kendrick started the whole beef.
And he ended it.
Yes,
I think
even me, who's not fully up to speed on all the different degrees of beef within that relationship, there's no doubt who ended it.
BT itself.
Even I know that.
Let's get back to the sports, which is what we do best. Jeff is calling from Saratoga. What's up, Jeff? You want to talk about that Jets quarterback situation?
I do, guys. I got a little bit of a creative idea. I haven't heard a ton of his name being brought up, and just hear me out on it. Kind of want to present the case for Jameis Winston, and part of me doesn't even believe I'm saying that, but I don't see a Jaden Daniels or a CJ Stroud this year, and I'd like to win with this much talent on the roster.
Okay.
I feel like coming off the Rodgers atmosphere, and to me it was toxicity. Like, I'm as glad to get rid of him as I am Zach Wilson. I know different scenarios, but just both disasters. I feel like with this talent, maybe using that 7th pick, either a 6'5 receiver out of Arizona or one of those big defensive tackle or cornerback out of Michigan, just adding to the talent base, maybe picking up another weapon or two. Jameis is kind of, to me, maybe a throwback to a Vinny Testaverde, unlocking some magic. Parcells combo, both number one picks, Tampa Bay Bucks.
Wow.
I think he crossed over with Aaron Glenn in New Orleans. I think he's super entertaining, likable.
Yeah, he is very likable.
Talent.
Yeah.
I just feel like maybe with the right combination, he's only 31 years old. This guy, does he have a couple big years? If Darnold could do it, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
I'm not sure I see a big difference.
You know, Jeff, good call. I get you on what I would like to see them do at 7, maybe even trade out, whatever. We've got a lot of time to get into that. But the quarterback is the big issue here. And I've kind of dismissed Jameis, not as maybe salvageable somewhere else. I personally don't want to oversee the experiment. I've just seen far too many pick sixes.
Man, but Sal, pick six machine.
He is. But think about this, Sal. When the Jets, and now I know Parcells, Glenn has yet to prove that he's Parcells. I get that. But when the Jets signed Testaverde, I remember there was the God, I was at a golf outing at Upper Montclair, beautiful country club, and in Jersey, as you know. And it was like the quarterback challenge or something. And I remember back in 97, going into the 98 season. That's where I think Parcells first approached Vinny. Now, I know, Jameis, pick machine, he's this, that. Vinny Testaverde was a broken, even though he had a decent year or two with the Ravens, but was broken.
Isn't Kirk Cousins a better example then of that?
No, because Kirk doesn't have the arm talent. Vinny had an absolute rocket, and so does Jameis.
Right, but Kirk is more along the lines of Vinny Testaverde, where he was successful, veteran player. Jameis has never been good in the NFL.
I don't know if that's true. Jameis had a little flicker or two. Like
he put up some sometimes big numbers, but the interceptions always followed.
But I know. But I feel like, and I want to double check. I think he had one season where there was. I'll get this real fast. Where there wasn't as many picks, and I thought he kind of solved it a little bit. Maybe I'm misremembering. Hold on. Now here's Jameis. Funny too, Vinny, Tampa Bay Buck. Obviously, Jameis starting there. Yeah, I mean, you look at, 30. Yeah. Yeah, so with the Saints, I thought so. So in 2021, he had 14 touchdowns and three picks. Then he got hurt. He hasn't played a ton since then. Now, he threw 30 picks the year before that, or 2 years before that. Man, what a weird career. Even his first year, 22 touchdowns, 15 picks. I mean, not atrocious as a rookie. I mean, Vinny's splits were, woof.
Yeah.
Year two, 28 touchdowns, 18 picks. Year three, 19 touchdowns, 11 picks. Not terrible.
I would not want Jameis Winston.
I don't want him either. But
and I like his personality a lot.
Love his personality.
And I think he's a lot more exciting than anything we've seen from a Jets or Giants quarterback in quite some time. I don't think it's the right move right now for him to be the guy for this team in this new regime.
What about, again, Aaron Glenn? And by the way, I probably agree with you, but let me just pop up Vinny real fast, point of reference. So having been around him as Aaron Glenn was with the Saints, I mean, there's first of all, you know, Jameis has the arm talent. We know that. Decision-making, obviously questionable over the years. Incredible leader. And I think just like an emotional elevator. And I, you know, if any building needs an injection of enthusiasm and hard work and appreciation for the craft, don't you think that Jameis is the guy more so than anybody else that's going to walk in and just light up the room?
Yeah, but I still, if you're going to go down that road, I don't think you should just dismiss Kirk Cousins. But why?
Kirk's a different league. Kirk's a nerd. I don't know.
He's a whole locker room. He's a nerd.
The whole locker room. I think the whole locker room's following Jameis. I don't think the whole locker room's following Kirk Cousins.
I don't know about that.
I can't prove that. I just think it's two very different energies.
Look at his resume. And by the way, his year last year was not. I mean, he threw a lot of interceptions, but if that's the one knock on Cousins, that's what Jameis does. That's his specialty.
Yeah, what was his numbers last year, Kirk?
18 touchdowns, 16 INTs. He led the league in interceptions.
And I know that he really started playing poorly as the year went on. And how about this
for 3,500 yards.
You know, he's had some massive seasons. 66.9 He's had some great seasons.
Completion percentage, which is basically his career average. Actually, it is his career average.
Now, imagine this. Now, imagine us going through this. So, now, this was year two. He didn't start entirely year one. When Vinny tested, just imagine this was a New York Jet or Giant, and we're on the radio watching this. Vinny's second year in 88, former first overall pick, 13 touchdowns, 35 picks.
Right.
Number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's
35 picks. Can you imagine what we'd be talking about?
No, that is brutal. Oh, I mean, at least he threw some touchdowns. I mean, it's better than Zach Wilson.
13 touchdowns and 35 picks?
I'm just saying, at least he was trying. And by the way, back then, that was norm for a younger player. I mean, that's kind of what you expected for a rookie. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, today's call of the day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Find the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert.
This would be a weird, now I don't even know how this is going to come out, but because I do think this is important. The appreciation for where they are now, I admit it has been, it should be stronger with, like, the Nick force within me should be stronger. It should be.
Just enjoying it a little bit.
I admit it. It should be. And I'm mad at myself that it's not. But to lean on the 18-ish, 20-ish years of this century and how bad they were as the reason to falsely elevate how I feel about this group is something I can't do. And I'll tell you why. Now, you're dating a girl, right? We're not going to use wives. We're going to use dating. All right? Because it's less intimate, right? Less personal. You're dating a girl. She's sleeping around on you behind your back. She's a drunk. And I'm not trying to minimize alcohol issues, but she's a drunk. She's dabbled in drugs. She's a disaster, right? You're like, I got you. Goodbye. You break up with her. You have another girlfriend who is not sleeping around on you and is not abusing drugs. Again, weird analogy. I know.
Yeah, where are you?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Was it the call of the day? The analogy of the day.
Oh, right. Boy.
In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Couple things, BT, before we finish up on the phones here. Number one, I got to give a shout-out. Jonathan Marks, who is a listener of our show, he has a collectible shop in Florida somewhere. And because we were talking about, remember a couple weeks ago I was talking about the cards that I was putting up on eBay?
Yeah.
And I was talking about, you know, trying to look for Rangers cards for my nephew. They sent a bunch of stuff for my nephew, some older cards or whatever. So I just
wanted to give baseball cards too?
No, just hockey.
Nice.
Just hockey stuff for Joey, some Rangers signed cards. I got to give that to to him a puck and stuff. So we appreciate that, Jonathan Marks, and thank you for being a loyal listener. That's number one. Number two, we didn't really talk about it. So the Mets are officially, it seems, moving on from Jose Iglesias.
Yeah.
Now, you know how popular it was. Like, my mother, I took her to that fan fest thing, and she got to meet Mendoza. He was great, by the way, Mendy. I hope that we go down, you know, whatever. Hopefully we get him on the show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But she, the number one thing that she said to him, oh, I hope you keep OMG, you know, Jose Iglesias. Like, yeah, I want him back too. It was very nice. But Met fans loved Iglesias, not to the level of Alonso, but you know why? It was special last year in the vibes, similar to what you're talking about with the Knicks from last year. Mm-hmm. Iglesias was a huge part of that. And I don't know if I would say it's getting overlooked, but now that it's definitive that he's not coming back, I do think they're going to miss that. And I worry about now with the new energy in Soto coming in, who knows where Alonso's at after what went on in the offseason. No J.D. Martinez, who was also a big presence, a positive influence in that clubhouse. And no Iglesias. I don't know how the vibes are going to be in this Mets clubhouse.
I want the Yankees to get him. That's how highly I think of Iglesias.
By the way, they need him. They need depth.
I know they do. I think that he was awesome to watch last year. His energy and his, by the way, his production. What do you have, a 22-game hit streak? You know, the Mets' all-time home record, had a 400 batting average in Queens. I mean, he did some real, real important baseball things. Like, it wasn't just the cute OMG chain when somebody went yard, or the live show after a game, or Boomer and Geo live hopping on stage and doing a little OMG. Yeah, I you know, that's why when players say every year is so different, it's true. Even if you have a lot of the same players, the energy, the circumstances, the mindsets of those players there, think there's a lot of moving parts. And I think the Mets are a better roster, but there's no guarantee that they'll, I'll use your word, vibe the way they did a year ago. But I think the good thing, and that could be a little different than the Knicks, like in basketball, you need great chemistry. And I think the Knicks have good chemistry. Last year, I thought they had great chemistry. In baseball, it helps to have good chemistry. You don't need it.
Do you think that Iglesias would fit with the Yankees? Meaning all that he did with... Because a part of me thinks like it was Met-like and it worked for the Mets.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense that it would fit with the Yankees. Like, they don't even allow you to grow facial hair. They're going to have Jose Iglesias performing concerts and OMG signs.
It's funny. I wasn't even going to go there because I don't want to make it too much Yankees-Mets, but I did say I would take him on the Yankees. Yeah, I was thinking about that to myself. Like, let's say they sign him, and, you know, let's say, you know, Judge, when he bangs his first bomb, and if Iglesias was on the opening day roster, are they busting out a blue and white, different shade of blue, pinstripe OMG? There's no way. I'm not looking to replicate. I don't want that. I'm not looking to replicate that.
Yeah, but in some, like, he's got to be himself. What made him so special last year was he was allowed to be himself with the Mets.
I know.
And have all that fun. Like, you think the Yankees would have a post-game concert? A post-game on-the-field concert by one of their players?
No.
Me neither.
I don't.
And that was part of the... Now, even from a Mets perspective, I was like, what are we doing here? But it worked for them last year.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if it would... I think the Yankees need depth, certainly. And obviously Iglesias would fit that. Who knows how much he's going to want here. But I don't know about the other stuff fitting in. I don't know if he could fully be himself with the Yankees.
That's why he's probably going to go somewhere else or retire. But, you know, the Yankees do need some depth. And I was telling Sal earlier, if you guys missed it, free Odyssey app, just scroll, that's out there. I really think the Yankees are going to get Arenado. I do.
Yeah, I don't know why you feel so strongly about that.
I know. It's
they need him or need a third baseman.
And that's part of the reason. I also know the Cards are motivated to move him. I think the Yankees are motivated to move Stroman. I think once they could do that, then obviously they can attack their finances differently. Now, in a perfect world, they wouldn't have to trade Stroman. They wouldn't need the Cardinals to bite off more money than they are willing to bite off. The Yankees would just say, screw it. I mean, this guy's an elite fielding still. Not hitting, not as much, but an elite defensive third baseman. We got a lot of guys that are lefties that throw in those cutters and those sinking, you know, fastballs at the ankles that are coming to third base. We want Arenado over DJ or over Cabrera or over Peraza. You just do it. But they're not doing that. They're looking to change the money. So, I love that, but that's how they operate. I understand that, so I can't scream forever about it. I don't think, put it this way, Sal. I don't think he's going to be on the Cardinals on opening day. The Red Sox aren't going to get him. I was worried about them maybe jumping in. So I think it's only like 1-2. The Tigers, I think, will still make a move for him because they were trying to get Bregman. No, I don't think the Astros are going to go get him.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't even know if he would be willing to go there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I don't know if he'd want to go there either. Yeah.
I just think the Cardinals are going to move him, and I think the Yankees have their eye on him.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll finish up on the phones. Joe is in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, BT and Sal. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Joe.
So, BT, in regards to the Knicks, I think you need to listen to Aaron Rodgers And R-E-A-L-A, Aaron Rodgers.
Who?
Yeah.
We've moved on, Joe.
R-E-L-A-X. Yeah. You know, I mean, the problem right now, I think, is obviously it's availability and health. And I think, you know, they got killed by the Celtics, but OG was out. I think if they got everyone healthy, and then, you know, that's a big if. If everyone's healthy and they're all playing to their capabilities, I think they got a good chance to compete with the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got you. You say that that's the problem. I'll tell you what the real problem is. The problem is that the Jets have messed me up permanently. That's all there is to it. The Jets have ruined my mind.
No.
No, listen to me. And I'll tell you why. So I have become, and more so with the Jets, with the Yankees, I think I'm much more even-keeled. The Knicks, up until maybe now, in the eyes of some, even-keeled. Passionate, but even-keeled in terms of expectation. The Jets just twist me in knots, right? So I think what's happened is that I have, in a weird way, and I wish that this wasn't the case, though I stand by what I said about the Knicks. I actually believe it and mean it. I feel like now, in the early stages of a team becoming good, I probably overstated. And then when they are good, I'm now understating it.
To protect yourself from being
hurt? I don't know why.
No, but I think...
I don't know.
I really don't think that you're protecting yourself from being hurt by letting your fandom or emotions being into it. I really think that you've had legitimate question marks about this team. And while watching them play for the first half, even though their record is one of the best in the NBA and one of the best that they've had, you know, in the last 30, 40 years, whatever it may be, on par with that, I still think that there are legit question marks and concerns. We have to see it play out. I'm just saying that I still think everything that they can achieve or need to achieve from the beginning of the year to where they are now, it's still in front of them. And that's what I'm curious about you. Like, it could be proven that you would be correct and there were concerns and they're not good enough. But I like this team's chances as much as any Knicks team in my life to win a championship. Not saying that I think they're going to. I'm not saying they're as good as the Celtics, because I don't think they are. But they have their best shot. The New York Knicks, this is their best shot to win a championship probably in our lifetime this year.
Yeah, I know. But that's why that crazy analogy that I gave out before, even though I didn't really finish it in terms of the clip, but... That's why it's like, yeah, okay, so it's not as bad as it was, and it's not bad at all. The Knicks record is very good, and the Knicks themselves are very good. But, you know, relative to what a championship team should look like, that's one level of analysis. Relative to previous Knicks teams, that's another level of analysis. I myself, because I really do think that they were built to win a championship with the big move, I choose to react to what a championship team should look like. Not that this is the best Knicks team this century, which, by the way, I agree. The other one just kind of supersedes that for whatever reason.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. Back at it to close out the week, 10 a.m. tomorrow. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. Enjoy your Thursday.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Enjoy USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound, which pairs well with Josh Cabernet, 750-milliliter bottles priced at $14.99 each, or buy six or more mix and match for just $13.49 each plus CRV. Signature Select Value Pack Boneless Pork Top Loin Chops, $3.99 per pound. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy. We'll be right back.